the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace from God, who is our peace, even and especially as we find ourselves in the mix of the mix. Here on All Saints Sunday, as we celebrate and give thanks, as we bring our pledges forward in a sign of our trust and joyful thanksgiving for God and all the blessings in this life, as we brace ourselves for a big election week and all the division that can come with that, as we move into this hectic holiday season once again, as we sustain and survive and maybe embrace all the changes that are around us with work and school and family and news, here in the mix of the mix, God meets us again and Christ speaks peace into our lives, calling us back, always calling us back to the center. What is the center? Love God, love neighbor. What if we measured every word that came out of our mouth by those two commandments? Love God, love neighbor. What if we measured every thought in our head, every tap of the keyboard or the phone screen, every action from our bodies on love God, love neighbor? I read these as equated, actually. Loving God is loving our neighbor. Loving our neighbor is loving God. What a simplifying gift that might be if we just measured everything we did, every decision that we made here at church, in our own lives, in our community, in our world, by those two. Love God, love neighbor, which I see as equal, really. Today, in the thick of it all, and in light of this text from Mark's Gospel, I'd like to share a little bit with you on this All Saints Sunday a bit about two very important special saints in my own life. I didn't bring a picture of them up here, but I certainly see them here with the rest of all our saints that we remember and give thanks for today, as well as the living saints who I see right before me right here. All Saints Sunday, as I said, is a day when we remember that the dearly departed saints are looking down on us, saints who are all still here, like they're lining the balconies of our churches and of our worlds, like they're rooting for us. Maybe imagine, a lot of people are not here today because they're downtown, because Ann Schultz is doing her run for life and has invited a lot of members from this congregation. We want to hold them in our prayers as they're running and raising funds against cancer. And you might imagine the saints as those people lining the streets and cheering on the saints as they move down the center. The saints, the dearly departed who have gone before us, are rooting us on always. Well, the first illumination on this text comes from a dearly departed saint and a member of the last congregation that I served. Her name is Lois Helber. Lois was a saint from the very beginning, and she was always in her life in the church and long before that a passionate advocate for those who are always being overlooked. She was just one of those people always advocating for the poor, always advocating for the immigrant. And we lived in San Diego, so she would drive into Mexico all the time in her 70s. At the time, everybody is screaming and yelling about how dangerous it is. She would just gather books that had been donated, and she and her husband had started a library in Tijuana, and she would drive down into Mexico on a Saturday and take these books to the library and meet with the family. She forced herself at a late age to learn Spanish, which was powerful, and then she'd even race back so that she could host an event, a fellowship event, coffee and tea and dessert for the church that evening. That happened on a number of occasions. She had a simple, modest house, but always she would make coffee, and always when people would gather from the church, there would be singing. Just one of those many saints. You probably have people like this in your life as well. And as life moved on for Lois and health issues became more and more prevalent, I got to visit with her more and more. And it was one of our conversations that we were having. I don't know what came up, but it prompted her to tell me a parable. And I had never heard a parable. She didn't talk like this normally, but she happened to share this parable with me one day. She tells me about two able-bodied men that were walking along the beach in San Diego. She paints a nice picture of that. If you've ever been along the shoreline, you can picture that in your head. Suddenly, she says, they both hear the screams of a little boy who's out in the water drowning. He's been struggling against the undertow that's pulled him far out there. The first man, she tells me, drops to his knees in the sand, opens up his hands in a Broadway like this, and says, dear God, please don't let that boy drown. Please don't let that boy drown. The second man looks around incredulous that no one is doing anything about this boy that's out there. He shouts out, God damn it, that boy is drowning. And he runs out into the water to do his best, even though he has bad knees, to try to save that little boy. Now, Lois says to me, like an old rabbi, now, which of these two men took the Lord's name in vain? Wearing our Christianity on our sleeve is one thing, but Christ is about something else. Show me your discipleship by your actions, Scripture tells us and calls us back again today. Show me your discipleship, the Scripture says, by the decisions that you make. Show me your discipleship by how you spend your time and the decisions that you make, by how you spend your money, by how you use your able body, even if you've got bad knees. Don't tell how faithful you are. Show it. Love God by showing me how you love your neighbor. Christ nudges us again this day. Thanks be to God for that. In this text that I read here today, mix it all up for you. Jesus is not actually arguing with the scribe. I don't know if you caught that in the text. He's agreeing with the scribe. The scribe actually understands it. Often Jesus is going head to head with the Pharisees and the scribes. This time a scribe comes forward and actually has the right answer, indicates to Jesus that he actually gets it. The scribe is the one who says all this, and so Jesus simply is commending his deep wisdom and says to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God by saying this. In other words, yeah, you get it. Love God, love your neighbor. Love is not about right doctrines or showy sacrifices. Rather, love is about faithfulness and humility and trust and grace. In a moment, we'll come forward and place our pledges and our offerings on the altar. And that, too, is not a showy sacrifice ritual, like the scribe was talking about. Hey, everybody, look how great I am! rather, physically coming forward at the offering time on this Pledge Sunday, it's ritually getting our bodies, our whole lives, into our giving. In other words, you might imagine this time that will come here in just a few moments as running out into the waves, bringing our whole being up to the altar. And of course, that includes our financial resources. We bring our whole lives before God, right past our beloved saints, gathered, cheering us on, as broken or as crude or as lost as we might be, bad knees and all. Here we are, God. Where we've been, what we've done in the past, it doesn't matter. God has forgiven our sin. We heard it at the font. God is calling us now. And my prayer in this pledge campaign this past month, it's always been that every Bethlehem member participates and pledges something. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, that's the vision. That's the goal. Everybody, according to their ability, all ages, brings something forward. All income levels give from the top, as we sang with the kids. First fruits and proportional and regularly in a way that stretches us. And most importantly and finally, we pledge, we make our gifts joyfully. We come forward and bring what we can because it's a reflection of the ways that we trust in God and love God. We're not taking the Lord's name in vain. We're running into the waves. Love God, love neighbor, you see? The second saint I want to tell you about today is my Grandpa Roshki, my dad's dad. Grandpa was a loving pastor for more than 60 years around Missouri and Illinois. I'm wearing his cross today, I often do. Grandpa served so faithfully, and as a side note, the churches that Grandpa served would grow. Every church he became a pastor of, and it was probably a product of the times too, in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. They would grow to this point, and every 7 years, I remembered this the other day, Grandpa would gather the leadership of whatever church he was serving and say, "All right, as I say every Sunday from the pulpit, we are called to go outward and spread this gospel. So who's going to go? Who's going to go and start a new church?" And he'd be met with silence. Nobody wanted to leave their congregation. They loved their congregation. They loved the people in their congregation. That's why they were there, because it was a warm, inviting, wonderful place. They didn't want to go out there and start a new church. But Grandpa would pastor them. And it took some time. Nobody wanted to go at first. But over the years, Grandpa helped with those faithful people that took a risk, ran out into the waves. They must have planted 4 or 5 different churches out of that one church that had started. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? The point of the church is to expand and share this good news with others. I'm just giving you kind of a glimpse of my grandpa's evangelical spirit, which isn't maybe evangelical as you understand it often in culture these days, but the word behind evangelical is the good news sharing spirit. This was Grandpa's good news sharing spirit. Well, Grandpa died just a few years ago. And as we were going through his things, all his files and everything, my dad was really doing most of that hard work. He found in Grandpa's files these laminated cards. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was just a narrow laminated card, nicely laminated card, and it had a single Bible verse on it. It was John chapter 12, verse 21, which is when the crowd is coming and trying to find Jesus, and they come to the disciple Philip and they say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And that's what Grandpa's little laminated card said on it. It simply said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." You see, Grandpa would put this laminated card in every one of the pulpits he ever preached from. He just had a stack of these, and he would install it on the pulpit where he would serve, or if he was a guest preacher, he would always leave that card. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." In other words, it was a reminder to himself and any other preachers to get out of the way. "Sir, we wish to see," not Dan, "we wish to see Jesus." All preaching is meant to point to Jesus. Love God, love neighbor, you see? Stay to the side. This isn't about you. In all our preaching and teaching, that's true for all of us, not just preachers. In all of our giving and our sharing of resources, in all of our living, this world needs to see Jesus. We were particularly touched when we found this stash of these. We knew that Grandpa did this, that he left these in his pulpit. I actually put one here on this pulpit as well. We knew that he did this, but the hope that he had of having a whole stack of these, there were so many more pulpits to preach from. 90 years wasn't enough. There were still more who needed to hear. So to find that stash was particularly moving. That evangelical spirit, that good news sharing spirit. Personally, I'm growing to love where this pulpit is placed. When I came to Bethlehem just a few months ago, I thought, "Oh, it's so far back. I feel so far away from everybody. It's off to the side." I think it was Joe McKinney, actually, who said, "Well, that's great. That's what it's all about, staying off to the side. It's not about the preacher. It's about what's in the center, the cross and the table and the font." Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Friends in Christ, God shines through this day. In the mix of all that's going on around us. And it's the saints of God, both those looking down on us and you, who are saints too. Ye watchers and ye holy ones, it's the saints of God that get out of the way and run into the waves to serve a world with everything that we've got. All saints bear witness to the mighty works of the one who is deeply alive and abiding among us. All saints bear witness to the one who forgives us and challenges us. All saints bear witness to the one who sends us now back out into the world to love, and to share, and to serve in peace. All saints, us included, bear witness to Christ Jesus this day. Christ Jesus who lives and reigns this day and forevermore. Thanks be to God. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.